Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, this is Rich Wilson. Welcome to Fantasy Baseball Live. We're here every Sunday talking the game of baseball, talking the game of fantasy baseball, talking whatever the heck we want to talk about. And we're just a couple of days away from the start of spring training as pitchers and catchers are reporting, depending on your team, sometime Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. And then games get started in a week after that. Spring training games get started in a week after that. And we're going to have some of the greatest quotes. We've already had some. I'm in the best shape of my life. I've eaten well. I've gained 30 pounds of muscle. What was the one quote several years ago? I've trained my eyes to be stronger or something like that. So it's all about to happen. And we can't be more pleased. I mean, it's been a long off season. A lot of stuff has happened. A lot of stuff has not happened. We finally had a signing today or yesterday. Yu Darvish signs with the Cubs. We're going to talk to Timmy about that. But really nobody else has signed. So it has continued to be a very quiet off season, but you know what? This week, it doesn't matter because pitchers and catchers report. It's a great week to be a baseball fan. And then after that, the games start and then soon enough drafts will be starting. And speaking of drafts, guys, we are in the middle of draft preparation. We're doing the outfield today. Lots of names to go through. And then next week, we have our annual mock draft starting at 8 o'clock in the evening, going till 10. It'll be 2 hours of sheer podcast beauty. My least favorite show of the year because it's nearly impossible to do. But we're going to do it anyway. And have a lot of fun at that. Tim will be telling everybody who's going to be invited, and those invites might have already been sent out. I've taken the number 2 slot, and I believe Tim is in the number 15 slot in that mock draft. If you want to get a hold of us, you can do that on Twitter, at RichWilsonP361, at RichWilsonP361, and, of course, the great Tim McLeod, at TimothyLMC. Mr. McLeod, good evening.
Good evening, Rich. I want to thank you for pushing this back an hour, allowing me time to draft in Jory's Champs League tonight. Occasionally, you're going to hear a horn go off, Rich. We still have 10 rounds to go.
So, where were you picking? And tell us a little bit about the guys that you picked.
Well, a big shout out to all the guys in the draft. A great crew. And I was in 13, and I've never owned Chris Bryant, so now I do. And I came back with Corey Kluber. Get an ace pitcher, and then went with a couple outfielders in Justin Upton and Tommy Pham.
Yeah, tell me about Tommy Pham, Tim. I know we're going to go over him this evening. Clearly you believe in him to take him with your number 4 pick.
Well, you know, at worst, you're going to get yourself 20-plus stolen bases. I tend to think that what we saw was real last year. He produced the numbers. And, you know, he's going to report in the best shape of his life. And apparently he wants to be a 30-30 guy this year. So I'm going to believe him until he proves me wrong, Rich.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's really never done this before, Timmy. He didn't do it in the minor leagues. He was really an afterthought. I know on my rankings, I don't believe anybody else really had him high on their rankings. And late bloomer just put it together? Or this is a guy that maybe we don't, but you believe in it. I mean, should other fantasy owners be concerned? I'm concerned, Tim.
Well, I think there's reason to be concerned, but there was a lot of reason to be concerned when Nelson Cruz had his breakout too. So I don't think it's impossible, Rich.
You're not saying that Tommy Pham is Nelson Cruz, are you?
Well, no, he's going to steal a few more bases, Rich, but that most
well,
definitely.
I think Nelson Cruz stole a few bases in his youth, Mr. McLeod, if you recall.
My recall and memory both aren't going back that far, Rich.
All right, so just give me time to bring. All right, so he was 23-25 last year, 22% strikeout rate, not great, 13.4% walk rate, pretty good. Babbitt of 368, so that 306 batting average probably isn't likely. Neither is the 411 on base percentage. 5.3 WAR, but man, Timmy, before that, 9 home runs in 2016, plus 3, so he was 12 home runs the year before that. The year before that, in Double A, 11 home runs. Year before that, 10 home runs. Always had a little bit of speed, but I don't know, Timmy. I'm worried.
I think there's cause to be concerned, but you know, hey, you got to believe in somebody. Or else it's an awful boring world out there, Rich. And
Timmy, I believe in you. I believe in you.
Oh yeah, okay. Just what we need, a duet, Rich. That's gonna score points and
sure.
Drop ratings off the charts. At least at my end it will. It's been suggested I sing solo, Rich. Solo, nobody can hear me. How's that?
For sure, Timmy. Timmy, by the way, the puns on Facebook are really, really funny. So if you, Timmy, is subscribed to at least a pun group or whatever, and you're constantly reposting the puns out there, they're very, very funny. So I encourage everybody to just a little peek into the Tim McGrown personality, Tim McLeod personality, to see the kind of puns that he likes.
Yeah, if you can take the time to do it.
Exactly, Timmy. Exactly. So any pick that you're really happy with besides Tommy Pham, I know he got a lot of love. Anybody else in this draft you're doing, you go, wow, I'm so happy I picked up blank?
I picked up Jonathan Scope at the back end of the fifth round. That I'm really happy about, Rich. I also picked up Nomar Mazzaro, another favorite of mine. I picked him up in the 10th round. Another pick I really like, and Chris Davis. Like, I know the batting average is going to suck, but to get him in the 17th round, I'll take whatever he gives me at that stage, Rich. That's all pure bonus as far as I'm concerned.
I have him in my NFBC league as well, Timmy, and I agree with you. I mean, at some point, you know, if you built up enough batting average and on-base percentage, he's not going to kill you in on-base percentage leagues, but enough batting average in a traditional league, yeah, I'll take the 30-plus home runs. And, again, I know it was a down season last year, little injury, didn't play all the time, but, man, I would think 30, 35 home runs with a low batting average, I'll take that in the later part of the rounds, or at least mid-draft.
Yeah, like I drafted in round 16 and 17 back-to-back, I drafted Kendrys Morales and Chris Davis. And I think I can get 60 homers out of them.
You have to play Kendrys Morales now, though, in your utility position, so that's a little disappointing.
Yeah, it sort of locks you in, but for the production he's going to give you in round 16, he's another one that I really like. And of course, true to my conviction, in round 20, Rich, as my corner infielder, I drafted Ryan McMahon.
Good for you, Timmy. You continue to hear, you know, rumors that the Rockies aren't completely bought in on McMahon, but I'm hearing just the opposite, Timmy. I've talked to a number of people, my contacts. Timmy, I actually have contacts now, and they believe that the Rockies are going to give him a shot, and they think that their lineup is deep enough. Even though with the loss of Cargo, you know, they believe David Dahl, if he comes back healthy, will fit that role very nicely for Cargo. And there's a lot of belief that McMahon will be given the shot. And if he falls flat on his face, then they will bring back in Mark Reynolds.
Well, it's not like they don't have options, Rich. I'm glad you've got contacts. I'm still stuck with glasses here.
Well, you know, Timmy, it's maybe one day contacts will make their way up to Canada. I know, you know, that healthcare system up there. No, they don't have this contacts, but they're very, very nice, Timmy.
You know what? Good. Yeah. I have a huge problem. I need your personal advice urgently here, Rich. This is.
Wait on me, Timmy. I am full of advice.
Okay, of a wise, astute man. I've got an option here. I've got a choice, Rich, okay? I was given, okay, free passes, okay, to the Marlins spring training camp, okay? Or I've got the option of paying my own way to the IMG free agent camp. What should I do?
I've actually been to that facility. To me, it's very nice. The IMG facility. I think it's in Bradenton or you know, kind of down that way near Sarasota. It's very, very nice. I would go there.
Okay, well, thanks for your astute advice, Rich. Always appreciated. And to the Miami Marlins, who raised their ticket prices, good luck this year.
Did they raise their ticket price? I did not hear that.
Yeah, it popped up today. Apparently, they raised the ticket prices on 40% of their tickets. Probably the 40% is not going to be sold.
Wow. Just as spring training is rolling through, I will say, Timmy, that the Miami Marlins share a facility with the Cardinals, and it's very, very nice. So if you do want to venture down to where is it? It's on the East Coast. It's Palm. It might be just north of Palm Beach. So West Palm Beach. So it's pretty nice, Timmy. So, and you know, if you don't like the Marlins team is terrible though, you know, what's fun about spring training, Timmy, for the Marlins, they're going to be throwing a bunch of people out there no one's ever heard of. So, you know, you get a chance to see some young kids out there trying to earn a job. It could be a lot of fun.
Yeah. I've heard of Martin Prado though, Rich.
That's right. He's still on that team, isn't he? It's amazing. I guess he probably can't even be sold.
Well, no, he's an outfielder apparently this year.
Okay. So you did mention Nomar Mazzara. Timmy, I just sent you the rankings, your rankings versus the NFBC. Timmy, I'm just going to say one word. You do love you some Nomar Mazzara. So we're going to spend some time when we get to the outfield rankings, because you have to say that your love shows no bounds is pretty remarkable. Timmy, you love that man.
Well, you know, Rich, I don't look at the ADPs until I still haven't looked at them until you send them to me. So I'm always curious to get that first glance just to see how much of a man crush I do have on some of these guys. And from what you're saying, I should be sitting down when I open that file. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that is correct. I mean, it's a big number next to it, even a bigger number next to Yasmani Tomas. The NFBC guys absolutely despise Yasmani Tomas, as do I. Oh my gosh, Timmy, I've heard that that noise. There it is. So who are you gonna pick?
Well, I don't know. I'm taking a look here, and I got an outfield slot, and you know what, Yasmani Tomas is still there. I say,
of course he is. Yeah. Based on your rankings, Timmy, he should have already been on your team.
Well, that was well played, very well played, Rich. I like that. Gold star for Rich tonight.
Yeah, there you go. So are you going to pick Tomas, Timmy?
Yeah, I picked Tomas, and then I got five picks till it comes back to me. And I think I'm probably going to pick a middle reliever or something, something to fill in, I guess. Hey, everybody hates Steve Cishek. Is Brandon Morrow the answer in Chicago?
That's a really good question, Timmy. You know, they haven't signed. Oh my gosh, that was fast. So are you gonna pick Cishek?
Well, I'm thinking about it, but on the other hand, Charlie Tilson's still there, Rich. Okay, like.
Oh Lord. I didn't even see if he had Charlie Tilson ranked here on there. I'm sure he's in. Oh my gosh, he's in there. 94. But you have him in front of Mitch Haniger, Timmy. That's just not right. I'm going to have to play editor and fix that.
Come on, Rich. Actually, there are so many choices here. I really don't even know where to go, Rich. So I'm just going to, you know what? I'm going to go with Michael Gibbons.
Okay.
We'll go with Gibbons.
So let's talk about Brandon Morrow, because, you know, obviously with Yu Darvish signing today, and that was a significant signing for the Cubs, and finally a free agent goes off the board. But, you know, still out there is Holland, and he's a Scott Boras client. And from what I recall, I don't think any Scott Boras clients have signed, and it seems like the logical place for him to go would be with the Chicago Cubs.
Yeah, that seems to be the logical fit, but how are the Cubs from a money point of view now that they've locked in Darvish to $20 million plus a year? Does that then become an issue, Rich?
It probably does. I mean, they still sunk in what $25 million with Jason Hayward. So I mean, they're sunk there, but you know, they got a lot of cost certainty with Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, Ian Happ, Schwarber. Those guys are pretty cheap. So, you know, I don't know. But would you rather have Brandon Marr? Would you have rather Brandon Marr or Greg Holland? Who would you rather have closing?
I would rather roll the dice on Greg Holland, which is why right now, with Morrow being the favorite, I like rolling the dice on Steve Cishek. Does that make sense?
I agree. I mean, Brandon Marr had a great season last year, no doubt about it. But this is a kid who was a starter for years with the Toronto Blue Jays. To me, I was an owner of him many, many times, and really good stuff. Could never, ever, ever stay healthy.
Yeah, he was diabetic, and I think that was the gist of the problems. And I believe he's got it under control now, Rich. But a horrible disease, and it definitely derailed his plans. But if Morrow's healthy, I can't see why they don't give him a shot. But at the same point in time, you know, Cishek or C.J. Edwards waiting in the wings doesn't hurt as a late round pick.
I like Cishek better than C.J. Edwards. I do like C.J. Edwards' arm, but Cishek has closed before, Timmy, so you know, he does have that on his resume.
Yeah, definitely, Rich, definitely.
Yeah, so just on Brandon Marr and his diabetes, type 1 diabetes, juvenile diabetes. I don't know, Timmy, I think I've mentioned this before. My son has juvenile diabetes. We found out when he was 10 years old that he had type 1 diabetes, and you're correct. It is a horrible disease, but with proper care and proper monitoring, you can live a completely healthy, do anything you want. And my son's an MMA fighter, and, you know, we've gone through all of that, and he's lived a very healthy life. But, man, in those early days when he was a kid, boy, those were tough years trying to get him under control, I don't wish that on anybody. If it happens, if anybody's going through that, ever wants to talk, you know where to get me. I've been through it, and my son is he does a lot of like public speaking on it, a lot of talking to people on it, just because it's hard. It's a hard disease.
Yeah, definitely. And what can you do as an infant, Rich? It's not like you can ask questions and get answers. It doesn't work like that, does it?
Well, it was fortunate. Yeah, he was 10. So you know, we could ask questions and things like that. But, you know, what changed his life was the pump. There's an insulin pump that he uses that gives him a continuous feed of insulin, you know, all the time. And once you get that regulated, and once you get through puberty and stuff like that, everything starts to get a lot better. But prior to that, Timmy, it's a nightmare giving shots. It's rough. But on the back, he's what, 28 now? Good Lord, Tim, I'm old. So he's 18 years with the condition. And I mean, yeah, he's doing really, really great with it. So very proud of him. But it was a hard journey to get there.
Yes, I don't doubt that one bit. A friend of mine, Rich, you'll like this one, had twins. They were colicky. How's that for how's that for your first two kids, eh? Congratulations.
That's not good, Timmy. Yeah, congratulations. kill yourself, right, basically.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, just go out to the back of the yard and scream your head off it. That's tough, Timmy. Anyway, let's talk some baseball. You, Darvish, to the Cubs, Timmy. I mean, this has been a tough offseason. And if for you and me and a lot of other people doing podcasts or just radio broadcasts or television, there's been nothing to talk about. This is actually exciting. And I don't know, Timmy, 6 years, $126 million. Everybody's talking that's a great deal for the Cubs. And that's a lot of money, Timmy, for a 30-year-old.
Well, yeah, but then on the other hand, you know, I can see John Lester and him sitting in the dugout chewing the fat, and Lester says, yeah, that's not a bad contract. You know, 3 years ago, I got 30 more than you, 30 mil more than you.
That's a fair point. And, you know, you can argue that Darvish at the time of his signing was a better pitcher than John Lester, Timmy. Is that fair?
I think Darvish is
comparable at least.
Yeah, maybe a little lower because of the playoffs, but they're both pretty fair pitchers. The only thing that I did hear today that sort of caused me to sort of reevaluate maybe the dollars a bit is apparently Darvish has an out in that after 2 years.
Yeah, I don't know, Timmy. How many of those guys are taken outs? Did Johnny Cueto take the out? Is Jason Hayward going to take the out? I mean, some guys. I mean, Greg Holland took the out, and what's he doing now? So he can go both ways. And 32 years old, you're going to take an out on a contract? Nah, I don't know, Tim. I don't know. It worked for Jonas Cespedes, but how many other guys has it really worked for?
Yeah, I think it depends on what that age 32 season brings. If he's coming off a Cy Young award, yeah, I think it's a fairly safe bet we'll see him take the outrage.
Okay. I think given today's – I mean, we've talked about this at nauseam, but given today's climate and what's happening and guys not getting their money, boy, you got to really think hard, unless you're Clayton Kershaw. You know, taking an out, Timmy, seems a little dicey at this point. It's just not working out well for a lot of players.
Well, no, and you know, Scott Boras apparently owns every free agent known to man that hasn't signed. And one of my first thoughts, seeing the Darvish contract, and you know, and seeing what's his face, Todd Frazier signing for an undervalued contract. What does this then mean to the guys like Harper and Machado and Kershaw next year?
I think they get paid. I think they get paid. Kershaw will be interesting, but so? Machado and Harper at 26 years old are going to get paid, Timmy. That's the guys that are going to command the money. It's not a guy who's 30 years old. They're not command. Mm-hmm. And you know, Scott Boras, I don't understand, Timmy. I'm going through all media. In this particular case, I have no inside information. Every one of them has offered a pretty good contract. Boras is holding out for 8 years for Eric Hosmer and, you know, a 6 year for Jake Arrieta, and the teams have said no.
Well, yeah, I remember reading somewhere that Hosmer wants 9 years or something. Good Lord. No.
Yeah, he's a first baseman, Timmy, and you know, the defensive metrics don't shed a positive light on him. I think he's a better first baseman than what the stats say. But, you know, I mean, it's tough. I mean, they're just big first basemen just are not getting the big money anymore. And J.D. Martinez, I think they're overplaying his hand, Timmy. I mean, 40 home runs with the guy is older, and I would take the 5 years and say thank you very much. And my children's children are going to be well taken care of. They're playing with fire here.
At some point in time, there aren't going to be any suitors. And he's going to be sitting there, and it's going to be May. It's going to be June. He's going to be texting Kendrys Morales for suggestions and hints, and it's not going to be pretty.
Eduardo Nunez, he's going to get picked up, Timmy, because he's a versatile player. He's got speed. There's run creation. The guys that are not getting paid are the big boppers. I mean, and I think it's the Chris Davis, the CHRIS, the guy you and I both drafted. We've got the ridiculous contract. The Jonas Cespedes, constantly injured, an older player. It's these big boppers, Timmy, that are just not getting the money anymore. And I think that's part of the problem. I think the pitchers are going to get paid. Maybe they won't get the extra year. Maybe they'll get $2 or $3 million less per year. But, you know, I think Barr's trying to set records this year, I think, is fool's gold.
Well, yeah, all you have to do is take a look at Trumbull, Morales, and Bruce. They're all 3 year, roughly $40 million contracts.
Yeah, yeah, agreed. Yeah. So, Timmy, so your thoughts on the signing with the Cubs? I thought it was a great signing for the Cubs, man. I mean, it's Darvish, I think, is the number one there, then Quintana, Lester, Hendricks, and Chatwood. That's pretty strong with some decent 6 and 7 guys sitting in there.
Well, yeah, I think it's something the Cubs had to do, Rich. They had to upgrade that pitching. You know, the Cards picked up Ozuna, and Milwaukee has got themselves a real solid outfield, and they're looking to challenge. It was time for the Cubs to step up and do what they had to do. And, in fact, they did it. Good for them.
I think the Brewers, unless Jimmy Nelson comes back soon and healthy, and they're saying he won't be back till June, and who knows how healthy he will be. I don't know that pitching staff's good enough to be more than a 500 team. And clearly the bats are, but man, that pitching staff is a little ugly at the moment.
Well, yeah, the Brewers have to step up now and either get Arrieta signed or a Lance Lynn, Alex Cobb. The Brewers can't sit back right now and do nothing. They've got to find a way to either trade for or sign themselves a free agent. And, you know, there's some players out there that they can look at in a trade situation, and they do have the prospects to move them. So one of those two answers has to come true for Milwaukee to stay pace.
I could see them, you know, signing a Lance Lynn or a Alex Cobb. Fascinating. I'll let you pick. It'll be fascinating if they actually do sign Jake Arrieta, but I could then see them packaging up a Lucas Ursag and some other guys for to bring in a Chris Archer. I think that would definitely be a possibility, because they are very, very deep. Even after giving up Brinson and Monty Harris and some other guys, they still got a very, very nice minor league system. And I guess the question for them, and, you know, we don't know what's in their head. Do they think they can win? And if they think they can win, then I think they need to add two starters, not one, because you cannot pencil in Jimmy Nelson. You just can't do that. And if you're expecting Jimmy Nelson to repeat 18 wins in a, you know, 3 ERA, it's just not, you can't do that after having shoulder surgery. You can't do it.
No, you can't, Rich. And I think we already know the answer to the question, do they think they can win? If they didn't think so, why did they sign Kane and make the move for Yelich? I think they're geared up to give it a go. So now they got to keep following through with the process and find themselves some pitching.
Yep, and you know that Scott Barr, as soon as that signing was announced with Yu Darvish, boy, he was calling the Milwaukee Brewers and going, hey, guys, how about Jake Arrieta? He would look really good in very cold Milwaukee. Timmy, give me the stat line for this year for Darvish. Innings pitched, wins, ERA, and strikeouts.
Innings pitched, 200. ERA, 360. Strikeouts, 245.
So he's going to be Yu Darvish.
He's going to be Yu Darvish, Rich.
Any concerns, Timmy? Any concerns after, first, at the end of his tenure with Texas, supposedly tipping his pitches, got hit really, really hard. And as a Yu Darvish owner, he got hit really hard. And then also in the World Series, it was awful. I mean, it was just embarrassingly bad. Also now, apparently the Astros have said they knew what was coming. And in that seventh game, it sure seemed like they knew what was coming. Any concerns, Timmy, of him fixing that problem?
No, I have no concerns at all with him fixing it. I think the one thing that has been understated or not stated at all, per se, concerning Darvish, Rich, is the fact that last year was his first year coming back from Tommy John. As a rule, that isn't a great year. There are things that have to be worked out yet, especially from a control perspective. And you look at the numbers he posted last year, considering it was his first year back from TJ, they were pretty fair.
So talk to somebody, Tim. Again, my contacts. Thank you very much. Rich Wilson does have contacts. And what somebody told me is they said, go out and see how many splitters he threw in 2017 versus the number of splitters he actually threw back, you know, when he was Yu Darvish back, he said 2014 or 15. And he was throwing about 3 or 4% of the time the split, right? I mean, that's his signature pitch and the same one that all Japanese pitchers. So he hardly threw it at all last year. And so in discussing this with people, said that was basically an indication he was afraid to throw it because of his elbow. The question would be another 6 months after the surgery, does he feel more confident though on the splitter? Apparently he relied heavily on his cutter, didn't really want to throw the slider. Again, if you take a look at the slider percentage versus the slider, you know, that he did just a couple of years ago, it was definitely one that he wasn't throwing as much. So the question is, does he feel confident now 6 months later? And I think that'll be the tail of the tale. So I would check Brooks Baseball in April to me and see what's happening with his pitch miss. If it continues to be fastball cutter, then it might be a little warning Will Robinson there. So,
yeah, that's interesting, Rich, and definitely some very, very valuable information to to monitor moving forward. I will keep my eyes on that.
Yeah, I'm just trying to count up all of his pitches. So 1,100 fastballs, 500, so 800 sliders. Well, this looks like about 2,300 pitches. He threw 15 splitters. That's not Yu Darvish. That's not a Japanese pitcher, Timmy. They throw more than that.
No, but they were all quality pitches, Rich.
That's right. But again, that indicates a guy doesn't feel confident, doesn't feel confident, or he's afraid to. And, you know, fear is a thing, Tim. You know, if you're whatever it is, if you're afraid to do something, you have a tendency either not to do it or rely, you know, you do it poorly because you're compensating for that. So I think that'll be a strong indication. If we see more splitters early, then I think that would bode well for Yu Darvish.
Yeah, I that makes perfect sense. And just to let you know, I snuck in Tilson in round 24, Rich. He'd be mine.
Oh, jeez. And with that, when we get back, we're going to talk some draft strategy and then get into ranking outfielders.
Sounds good, Rich.
So as we come back from the break, Timmy, just wanted to talk a little bit about drafting strategies. I know you're drafting now. You've had two or three drafts already. I've had a draft in my NFBC league. And just our listeners, in the last two or three weeks, they're going to start their drafts. Usually Dynasty League and Keeper League drafts are starting up very, very soon. I know ours are not this coming week, but the following week. But usually the 1st of March, people are drafting. So, Timmy, any thoughts for our listeners, a couple of helpful hints that they can put in and nog away when they go to the draft table?
Yes, don't drink and draft. That would be right up at the top of the list, Rich.
Okay.
Drinking
very,
and drafting
very
is
fair.
Not good. Yes. On a more serious note, I think one thing that is very apparent this year is that there are some very, very solid trends, especially in the first round. And that first round is going to be incredibly important as to rounds 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's going to shape your draft. It won't totally control it, but it's going to shape it. So look to your draft slot. Give it a real good study, and a lot of those plans that you make for the following rounds, because they're going to be based on that, plan ahead a little bit and just look towards trying to build your draft around that first round draft slot, because those spots are, there's not a lot of flexibility. You know, that you might see guys drafted third or fourth or fourth or fifth, but for the most part, there's a pretty steady group going, I'm finding, in that first round right now.
Yeah, and I think that's pretty consistent. And they're all quality guys, Timmy. I mean, it's not like there's – I mean, maybe Aaron Judge, who's going first, second round, maybe he's the guy that's popped up. Giancarlo Stanton, you can argue he's popped up. But it's a solid group. I mean, there's not a guy who's come seven rounds from nowhere and is all of a sudden in the first round.
No, definitely. And the only thing to be worried is if you take a pitcher in that first round, you're going to have to find speed and power somewhere. And it's just going to dictate how you go about trying to procure that and when and where.
Yeah, I think one of my tips, Timmy, then we'll kind of trade off back and forth. And I know we always say this, but know your rules. But really, if you are drafting in an on-base percentage league versus a batting average league, it's a huge difference, Timmy. You need to think about that, because guys like Brandon Belt actually start to have some value in there. Guys like the first baseman now for – oh, name just escaped me. The first baseman now for the Phillies just signed 3 years.
Santana.
Yep, Carlos Santana becomes an interesting pick, because all of a sudden he'll bat 250, but his on-base percentage will be 100 points higher than that. So you really need to think about that in your draft preparation. So many of the draft preps that are out there only show you batting average, and I think you lose in that that realm, because you're not thinking about the on-base percentage. So I encourage everybody to do that, and guys like Billy Hamilton are better plays in a batting average league than an on-base percentage league, because there's so many at-bats out there for him, and it just kills you, a sub-300 batting average, just because he never walks.
Well, yeah, and at the same time, you look at a guy, Rich, like Sal Perez. You know, you can pencil in, okay, 25 homers, 80 RBIs. He's a top five catcher, except in OBP leagues where he puts together about a 260 OBP. So, again, you just have to be very, very aware of your format and understand the value of those players.
What's another tip that you can give people that are about ready to enter drafts, Tim?
If relief pitchers go and they go early, and this is just coming out of tonight's adventure, I'm usually big on shoring up closers. If they go early, don't get caught up in the run. Don't start overdrafting your closers because everybody else is. Go with some setup guys. In my case tonight, I just didn't like the way things shook down. So my bullpen is made up of Andrew Miller, Zach Britton, Steve Cishek, and right now Michael Gibbons. And I'm okay with that. I would rather than getting caught up with the 15th best closer six rounds early, I'll go to plan B, Rich.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think closers are strange this year. I mean, there are a lot of open questions to me. Even guys like Wade Davis now going to Colorado, and it's like, was he really good last year? I don't think so, because as an owner of him, he was okay. He wasn't down the lockdown closer. Now he goes to a tough ballpark. And, you know, Roldis Chapman lost his job last year, Timmy. He lost his job. So even the best of the best, it's like, wow. So guys like Hector Neris, who you go, wow, Hector Neris, he might be a guy that you draft. I mean, you know, that might be your number one closer. Are you excited about that? I don't know.
Well, you know, we're sitting here in this draft I'm doing right now, Rich. It's round 26, okay? And Juan Minaya for the White Sox is still sitting on the board. I think that's a fairly good time to take him, no?
I agree with you. So take him. Here's another tip for me, Timmy, and you've said this for now a couple of years. I'm going to reiterate it. Outfield is not deep. You look at Mike Trout at the top, and he's the number one overall pick, and you look at Charlie Blackmon, you go, wow, there's a couple outfielders in the right at the top of the first round. Outfield must – no, it gets shallow in a hurry, and you're stuck with guys like Yasmani Tomas. I mean, and it's no fool in there, Timmy. I mean, it gets shallow in a hurry, and I think people out there drafting and planning need to get three or four top-quality outfielders even before – more deeper positions such as third base.
Well, yeah, if you go late on outfield, you're definitely, there's a price to pay for it at some point in time. I'm looking at, for labor this week, I'm looking at a strategy where I'm going to probably own two outfielders in my first three picks. And I'm perfectly happy with that. You know, the corner infield, there's depth there. Shortstop, there's a gazillion choices I like at shortstop going later. So, the one place I don't want to be stuck going later is outfield.
Give me a player or two, Timmy, that you're a little bit more bullish on. We know one is Nomar Mazzara. So give me another one besides Nomar Mazzara.
Besides Nomar Mazzara in the outfield?
Anywhere, Timmy. Any pitcher, anywhere that you want.
I'm about as bullish, I think, as you can get on Ozzie Albies. Trevor Bauer is another one. But both of those players, I'm cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs on both, Rich.
Who was the second guy, Timmy?
Trevor Bauer for Cleveland.
Oh, yeah, you are. I don't know, Timmy. I don't know about that. I mean, I love the stuff, as you know. One of the best minor league pitchers I ever saw, some of the best stuff out of his arm. But man, the height worries me. The fact that he's kind of crazy, you know, that kind of worries me, you know, it's and in a good way. It's not like he's, you know, Walter White crazy. Timmy, did you ever watch the series Breaking Bad?
I watched the first year or so, year and a half, and then I just got distracted because I think it was on Sunday nights, if I'm not mistaken. So, you know, I didn't have, Kathy had shows that she liked watching on Sunday, so I couldn't fire up the 8-track to tape them.
Timmy, so we missed the – I don't know when it came on, but we missed the whole thing. We tried to watch it a few years ago, just couldn't get through the first couple episodes. Very, very violent. But, Timmy, it's on Netflix now. We've committed to watch it. Oh, my gosh, Timmy. It is amazing. We are through the first three seasons. We've got four and five to go. It is awesome. I mean, it is violent. So people who don't like violent shows, it's tough to get through. But the drama that's involved in that, the tension that's involved in that show, and the morality, all kinds of very, very interesting things that are going on in that show. That, Timmy, it might be the best show I've ever seen.
I have heard that from so many people, Rich. And at some point in time, when I understand what Netflix is all about, I'll probably get into watching it.
Timmy, if you do, you need an ID, let me know, because it is definitely worth watching. So, in fact, I quoted, Gus, who's one of the bad – well, they're all bad guys. There's no good guys in this thing. So, so I, in a tweet, I quoted Gus, who made a comment to Walt when Walt asked him if he had any advice for him, two criminals basically talking. And Gus goes, yes, don't make the same mistake twice. It's like, oh, okay, that's good.
Yeah. So, yeah, I was going to say, how many good people can be in a show where it's about a teacher – who decides he wants to sell Coke for a living? I was going to say, it can't be populated with good people, Rich. It can't be.
Now, Timmy, just so you've offended some of our listeners. It was not Coke. It's meth. So that's the choice. So yeah. So we got to get it right. So I'm I'll be gone for a couple of days. Out traveling, and I don't know what I'm going to be without watching more of this show. I think when it's over, Timmy, I'm just going to like collapse, because we are literally like pounding two or three episodes at a time, and it's so intense. Mm-hmm. You get done and go, oh my God. You know? So it's just like, it's intense. But in the notion of the reason I bring that up, not making the same mistake twice, Timmy, I am going to draft Eddie Rosario. He's one of the guys I'm going to draft, because I almost dropped him a couple dynasty leagues, and I held on to him because all he needed to do was improve his walk rate. He did that, Timmy. The power came. He got on base more, and I think he turned into a much, much better player. It's a guy that hit 28 home runs last year and stole a few bases and playing for a very, very good Minnesota offensive team. Really like Eddie Rosario this year. He's a guy I want to try to get on a lot of teams. And, of course, my man crush is Ahmad Rosario. Everybody seems to hate him. Not Rich Wilson. I love the guy. I'm going to put him on as many teams as I can.
Hey, the one thing that you can't say we don't do is, like, we wear it on our back. We, if I'm looking at promoting a player and you the same. We have our favorites. We don't stand back idly and watch them go off the board. We take them around early, and I think that's what you have to do, Rich.
Yeah, I know, and sometimes it blows up on i.e. Daniel Norris, i.e. Brandon Belt. So it doesn't always work, Timmy, but at least we have our convictions.
Well, exactly, and they don't stop me from crossing the border, so that's a good thing.
There you go. Timmy, when we get back, we're talking outfield. Are you ready to go?
I sure am, Rich.
If you want to go out and take a look at the Tim's 150 outfielders, 150 outfielders, go to prospect361.com. Simply go to the fantasy tab, and you will see everything listed, organizational lists that are going on. We're at the outfielders. The whole infield is done, and we've got pitchers, and then we are done. Timmy, do you like the new branding out on the site?
I love it, Rich. I like that red. And you know what? It looks absolutely gorgeous sitting in that number one spot on the draft board for labor. I thank you very much for that, Rich. I really do.
No, it's Jory Divick, who is running this draft, did it for me. And I got some more tasks that I'd love for him to do, but I don't feel like overwhelming him because we're not paying him any money. But, it all started with getting Tim a nice logo, and we took it from the shirt that we did. And then I said, hey, you know, can we just do some more for the site? And before you know it, in a matter of a couple hours, he had stuff that looked gorgeous. I stuck it in there, and it's just it makes everything really pop.
Yeah, it sure does, Rich. Two thumbs up for Drury. I send him a private message thanking him and telling him how good it really looked. Yeah, I can't speak enough about what Drury has done to help you out and the site.
Yeah. I'll comp him next year for – he's in the Dynasty League with us. So, Drury, you don't have to pay for that. So, that's my payment. I'll pay for his league fees. But would love to get some rankings. You know, send me – right next – I found some but just stuff I don't really like. But like this says, outfield ranking and pitching rankings, that'd be great to get. But maybe next year we'll have Drury do that. So, but anyway, Tim, let's go through the rankings. So – you have some guy named Mike Trout, number one. I've never heard of him. Is he any good?
Sounds fishy to me, Rich.
Sounds fishy. Here's Tim's top 10. Mike Trout, Charlie Blackmon, Mookie Betts, Giancarlo Stanton, Bryce Harper, J.D. Martinez, Corey Bellinger, Aaron Judge, George Springer, and Justin Upton. And the NFBC pretty much agrees with Tim on the top 10. Tim, you've got Mookie before Giancarlo Stanton. They're flipped. And in fact, Bryce Harper is the third guy off the board. You've got Mookie Betts. You've got Bryce Harper fifth. Any concerns, you know, about Bryce Harper, why you have him at five and the NFBC has him at three? Any concerns there?
Because the NFBC is playing last year's stats, which had him stealing 20, or 2 years ago, which had him stealing 21 bases instead of the four he actually stole. I have problems with Harper, Rich. I really do. I get the unlimited potential. I've seen the great years, but he's been inconsistent and all over the place on a year-to-year basis. And I would much rather have what I perceive to be the sure things in five cat stuff from Betts and the power from Stanton before Harper.
J.D. Martinez, Timmy, you've got him at six. NFBC has him at eight. I know he is dropping, and for good reasons, Timmy. I mean, Scott Barnes is his agent. And, I mean, when do we start to get worried?
Your first draft, when you probably taking the safe play, say, I'll pass.
Yeah. So let's say it's the second week in March. So I think that's March 10th or something like that. And you've got your draft on Monday evening and J.D. Martinez is not signed. How far does he drop? You definitely don't take him as the, I'm assuming, as the sixth outfielder off the board.
No, I avoid him. If he hasn't signed by the first, second week of March, I think it's a long haul, Rich. And I would drop him down the board faster than Billy Hamilton going from first to second. How's that?
Yeah, I agree with you, Timmy. I'm worried. And, you know, there's a really good player, Alex Cushing, who plays in one of our Dynasty League, a very, very good player. And he's starting to peddle Jake Arrieta and J.D. Martinez. I know some players, Timmy, some owners just have a sense and a knack. And Alex Cushing is one of those. He's one of those guys. It's just, in fact, we're trying to do a deal. And I just like, I don't like to trade with you because I always lose. I mean, I always lose because you're better than me. And I kind of wonder, but he has instincts, Timmy. And it bothers me greatly that he's trying to push these two guys. And you just know they're not, you get the sense that they might not be here starting whatever the seasons are. I think it's March 31st. It's starting to feel more and more like that's a real possibility.
Yeah. I think when you get a trade offer from Alex Cushing or Ian Conn in a dynasty, you best have to look at it long and hard, Rich, before it accept, because they're good players. They know how to play the game. They look into the future, and they're just smart players. And it's tough making deals with good players. It really is.
It is, and it really bothers me that he's sitting there starting to peddle these two guys, and it's like, uh-oh. And I know he is. I'd probably be doing the same thing, but, man, it's particularly when I think he came in second last year. I think he won the previous two or three years, and you know, all of a sudden, like in dynasty leagues, and you've got this J.D. Martinez, and it's like, man, is this guy going to come? And I know you can't make the move now, but I'm with you, Timmy. Two or three more weeks, we could start to get in the first week of March. You got to start raising the concern, because them spring training games have started. I don't care if he's at IMG or the Bar's headquarters. It ain't the same thing.
No, it's not the same thing. And you know what? At some point in time, I think Mr. Boris is going to dig his heels in. And once those heels are dug in, getting a deal done quick, I don't think is going to be happening, Rich. I really don't believe it.
11 through 20 is Andrew Benintendi, Marcell Ozuna, Reese Hoskins, Tommy Pham, Timmy's lover boy, Tommy Pham, Christian Yelich, my guy. Timmy likes him a little bit more than FBC. Also likes Chris Davis at 16, Byron Buxton at 17, AJ Pollock at Starling Marte, which, Tim, I know you've always been a big fan of. You have him at 19. The NFBC has him at 13. And then finishing up is Domingo Santana. A couple guys I want you to just comment on. We've talked a lot about Tommy Pham and Christian Yelich. AJ Pollock, you and the NFBC have him at 18. He could be a top five outfielder, Timmy. He's got the skills and talent to do that, but he cannot, another guy who cannot stay healthy. Do you push him down just because of health risk or other kinds of concerns?
Well, health is definitely part of it, but he's no spring chicken either, Rich. He lost some serious time due to injury in the past. And when I look at the outfielders around him, okay, do I want AJ Pollock or do I want to roll a dice with Byron Buxton, who could be a 2040 player? Or Chris Davis, who's hit 40 home runs in back-to-back seasons. Again, two places ahead of Pollock. Then you've got a relatively safe pick in Yelich. And, you know, Tommy Pham, I'm only three slots above the NFBC, so I got a crush on him, but it's not that bad.
Yeah, it's a crush, Tim. I would please give this to me, Timmy.
Okay. It's lust, but it's not love, Rich. Okay.
I'll give you that, Timmy. I will definitely give you that. Tell me what's going on with Starling Marte. I know you're a speed whore and everything, Timmy, but you got him six slots. The NFBC's got him at 13. You got him at 19. What's going on there?
I'm just a little bit concerned. He's getting a little bit older. The lineup around him in Pittsburgh isn't going to be as strong next year. I think we might see a little bit of a decline, just marginal decline in the stolen bases. And when you look at Marte, there's a lot of options out there that'll give you the same thing, won't they? Or very close to it.
So, like who? Like AJ Pollock, Byron Buxton? Is that what you're saying?
Well, yeah, all those guys are fairly close, but I look at Marte and I look at Buxton. Where do I see upside potential? Definitely with Buxton. If Pollock stays healthy, I think he'll outproduce Marte as well. So I think I've got him slotted into about the right spot. I want the 40 home runs from Chris Davis if I can get it. Christian Yelich is nice and comfortable. You know, it's a difficult spot when you're looking at outfield. I just can't justify moving him up any higher based on the people ahead of him, if that makes sense.
What bothers me about outfield, Tim, is you get into these teens and 20s, and all of a sudden there's a lot of warts on there. I mean, Chris Davis, he's going to give you 40 home runs. That's it. Hurt you in on-base percentage. He's going to hurt you in batting average. Depending on how many people are around, you get on base in front of him, going to dictate his RBIs. So he's limited. I mean, Christian Yelich, I mean, going to a new team, is he going to press, blah, blah, blah. Tommy Pham, another guy. Is Reese Hoskins really going to hit 80 home runs? Or is he going to have be exposed in his second year? There's so many questions. We talked about Pollock and Starling Marte. For a league that you need five outfielders for the most part, your second guy, there's questions about him. I mean, you don't generally see that in outfield.
No, once you start looking at, you know, I think your top 10, 12, okay? I think there's not a lot of question marks there. I think we've got fairly proven history. But after that, you look at the group from 10 to 20, Rich, you know, you could tear them right apart if you want. Upton has always missed a couple months. Last year he didn't. Ozuna had a huge spike in home runs and RBIs. Hoskins has a limited history. Tommy Pham has just about as limited a history. Yelich is fairly safe and consistent. Davis is a flaw. Buxton, you're betting on the come. AJ Pollock, you're betting on health. Like, there's each and every single one of those outfielders. You're right. There's question marks.
Yeah, and it's interesting. And then a lot of those guys, you know, Rhys Hoskins is going to be somebody's number one outfielder. Marcell Ozuna is going to be somebody's number one outfielder. I mean, and it's like, are those guys going to repeat? I mean, is Marcell Ozuna really for real? I don't know.
Well, we've seen steady gains over the past 3 years. You'd like to believe that that is going to continue. But again, new city, new park, new environment, new numbers. Who knows?
Yeah, who knows? But again, usually in outfield, your first two guys you feel really, really good about. Yeah, you're going to get two guys because you're picking in the number one slot. And that's why I think it's a really smart. That's why people should listen to Tim. Listen to Tim. Listen to me on prospect, but listen to Tim on draft. He's going to take Mike Trout, number one, obvious pick us sitting in the number one on labor, but he's going to come back around and grab another outfielder. I think it's a really smart move, Tim.
Yeah, I like Benintendi. I think the worst we're going to see from Benintendi is what we saw last year, and I'm very happy with that, and that gives me two solid spots in my outfield. That's important to me, Rich.
All right, let's go 21 to 30. Got Ian Desmond, 21. Nomar Mazzario, 22. NFBC has him at 41. Lorenzo Cain at 23.
I'm sitting down.
Yeah, okay, you're sitting down. Yonis Cespedes at 24. Andrew McCutchen at 25. Billy Hamilton, 26. Yasiel Puig, 27. Ryan Braun, 28. Nick Castellanos at 29. Trey Mancini on 30. Timmy, Nomar Mazzario, help me.
22 years old. First 100 RBI season. That's all I have to say, Rich.
Yeah, okay, but isn't RBIs, I mean, you have to have people on base to hit guys in. I mean, don't you really want to look at, like, overall skills? I mean, was the power really emerging last year? Did he really control the strike zone very well? I mean, what about his, like, base skills?
I think he's going to be a superstar, and I'm not afraid to pay for it this year, not one bit. And as far as who's hitting ahead of him in the order, all-world shortstop Elvis Andrus. Could you want a better guy to drive in than Elvis Andrus, Rich?
That's why he's on my NFC team. So, I mean, we are following the Dr. Mershak plan of attack here. So, Dr. Mershak sent me a really nice note, Timmy. Did you see my trade I did in DL2 today?
Yeah, I was puzzled by that. Maybe you can explain that. I was going to ask you about that one, Rich, because it sort of seemed bizarre. Is that the right way of putting it?
I'll tell you what I did. It's a dynasty league. First overall pick,
right,
which is probably going to be Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
The guy said, hey, I don't want Shohei Ohtani. I'm rebuilding. I'd rather have Michael Kopech. I had Michael Kopech. How about Michael Kopech basically for Shohei Ohtani? I won last year, and he's saying, you know, do you want a guy who could step in and be a number two or three pitcher? And pitching has always been my weakest point in that league. I've got Mike Trout and Jose Altuve and Nolan Arenado. I mean, I have a stacked offense. And
right.
I thought about it. I love Michael Kopech, but I'm going, I got experiences. I want Shohei Ohtani on my team. So I said, I clicked accept.
Yeah, well, no, I thought it made a whole lot of sense from your perspective, not so much from the guy making the deal, because Ohtani's 23 years old.
Yeah, I almost wrote back that I should give him somebody else because I am the commissioner, so I felt like I should have given him something else, maybe your second, third round pick, and maybe I'll do that just because it felt a little. But he liked Kopech, Timmy. I mean, he made me the offer. It was a lot like I made the offer. But I like Kopech a lot.
Well, yeah, he made me an offer too, Rich. And all he wanted was Bregman as part of the deal and AJ Puck. So you know how far that one went.
Oh, so he wanted Bregman for the first pick?
Yeah, there was something else included. But as soon as the mere mention of the word Bregman came into the picture. let's find the do not pass, go, do not collect 200 button, Rich.
Yeah, I mean, it, some guys fall in love with certain players, and clearly he liked Kopech and, you know, didn't like Ohtani. I get it. I mean, I understand with the, guy already having elbow problems and so forth. But I'm looking at it, Timmy, and I actually thought about it for a couple of hours before I hit accept. And I'm thinking,
right.
There's a lot of they're the young guy, but there's downside risks. You know, is he going to be a batter? Is it going to is it going to mess him up? And, you know, there's all those kinds of concerns. And I'm thinking, but the book says I have to take. It's like you're at Las Vegas, and the book says you've got to hit, so you got to hit, right? So it was like I can't get too cute here. I have to take this, but I wouldn't be surprised in 5 years Kopech's not a better pitcher than Ohtani. So.
Yeah, it's and Kopech is going to get work in this year. I think he's. I think we're going to see him fairly early in the season. I think he's ready. What do you think?
Yeah, I think it'll be a tough season for him. I mean, he's still doesn't have great control. I think you'll definitely see him this year, but will it be a little erratic? Probably.
Yeah.
Will it be better in a couple of years? He could be really, really good. Could he blow out his elbow? Absolutely, Timmy. Most guys that throw 100 miles an hour blow out their elbow. So, I mean, you know, the elbow concern can happen to any guy that's that has pitching in front of their name. So,
well, yeah, and you know what? I like Ohtani. I think he's going to be an exceptionally good player. So I think there might be problems down the road, but I don't think any of those problems are unfixable. And when it comes to his drive and his willingness, his want to excel, it is second to none, Rich. He's like I said, I think you should be very, very happy with that deal. I would have definitely focused on something had the word Bregman not popped up.
Yeah, it's funny. I got him because it was the right thing to do. And two is I kind of wanted to own him. I wanted to see, I wanted to experience what it was like to own this guy. And is he going to play first base? Is he going to play designated hitter? Is it going to screw him up? I mean, I find that stuff fascinating. I mean, winningness is only part of the gig. I mean, it's
mm-hmm.
I get charged with the whole, what's it going to be like to own this guy? And am I going to be excited when he's batting? Probably not. Yeah. I want him to rest. So it's or is it going to get him excited if he hits a home run? And is it going to help us? I don't know. But now I get to experience that.
Well, yeah. And Rich, it sort of kills me because I'm probably not going to own him anywhere this year, not in a single league. And I've been following this guy since high school, okay?
I thought you were in the draft, some kind of slow draft, and you accidentally got timed out and
right.
They selected Ohtani for you.
I own Ohtani, and thanks for the reminder, Rich. Okay,
well,
I feel much
again,
better.
Again, proving the point, let's set the time. It's 10:02 p.m. on the East Coast. I do listen
yes,
to great, the great Tim McCloud. Tim, you don't even listen to yourself.
That could be the key to my success, Rich.
let's move on, Timmy.
Oh
my
man,
gosh!
Man.
And it's okay. Well understood. You don't listen to me. So I mean that's been well understood. But again, I don't listen to myself.
Pardon?
Anyway,
pardon?
Pardon? All right, 31. You got
pardon?
Ian Happ. 32. Jay Bruce.
Yes.
33. Eddie Rosario. 34. My buddy Steven Souza, who you like.
Yes,
Chris Taylor, you hate Chris Taylor. We'll get into that in a minute. Kevin Kiermaier, 36, 37, Bradley Zimmer, 38, a flash from the past, Adam Eat, most of the entire season, 39, Manny Margot, and 40, Ender Inciarte. So, Timmy, you like Steven Souza a little bit more, and I know that's because of the stolen bases that he gives you.
Yeah.
But Chris Taylor, I mean, you're not believing in Chris Taylor.
No, I'm really not, Rich. How many Chris Taylors can we believe in? There's only so many players. He wasn't even part of their plans until a month into the season. I just really have my druthers about his ability to repeat, and I've shuffled him down the board because of that. I would rather take an Eddie Rosario or an Ian Happ, Castellanos, Puig. I'd rather take all of those players right now than Chris Taylor.
Taylor's got pop. He's got speed. But Timmy, he struck out 25% of the time last year.
Yep.
He had a batting average of balls in play at 361 and an average of 288. If you told me he's batting 250, I would say, yeah, that would totally fit, or 240. And guess what? If he does that, he ain't getting the at-bats. He ain't getting the at-bats at the top of the lineup.
Well, no, and it wouldn't take much to convince me that he might hit 220 this year, Rich. I think you could be the optimist between the two of us.
Yeah. So let's say it's 240 batting average with a, you know, a 40 points on 50 points on top of that. So you're 290 on base percentage. He ain't going to be leading off. And he'll be pushed down to number eight. And all of a sudden his value is going to stink because he's not going to get stolen bases. That's the worry, I think, with Chris Taylor.
Well, yeah, and what happens to his run scored numbers? Something that you're counting on for probably 75 to 85, right?
Yeah, I mean, you don't really care if 20 home runs are nice, but you want the stolen bases, you want the run scored, you want all the things he did last year, and it's going to be about his ability to cut down the strikeout rates. And if he comes back with a 18% strikeout rate and starts to, you know, cut down on his swing, then all of a sudden I'm more interested. But that 25% as your, what's say, you've got him ranked 35, and the NFBC has him at 23. If you cannot take him as your second outfielder, Tim, you cannot do that.
Well, no, and some people will be taking him as their first outfielder, possibly, Rich. That's even scarier, isn't it?
Kevin Kiermaier, much rather have Kevin Kiermaier. Even though you've got Taylor at 35 and Kevin Kiermaier at 36, I think they're similar kind of skill sets offensively. But you know Kevin Kiermaier is going to stay in because of his defense, and he controls the strike zone better.
I just kept looking at Taylor, and I slid him down about as far as I figured I could. I figured it was a reasonable spot for him behind the new Hall of Famer that we'll be touting, Steven Souza, right?
Steven Souza. I mean, again, a guy that speed, power, Timmy, and you're going to get what you're going to get, which is a 240 batting average, but that's who he is. Everybody knows who you're getting. The worry is that's who Chris Taylor is, except with not that kind of power.
Yeah, exactly. And in one case, you know what you're getting. You're paying for it. Life is good. In the other case, you're paying for something that I don't think you're going to get. How's that?
Yeah, totally agree with you. Timmy, Bradley Zimmer, you got him at 37. The NFBC has him at 51. Why do you like Bradley Zimmer so much?
I don't know if I'm liking him that much or the NFBC's hating him. How's that? I'll play devil's advocate on this one, Rich. I think the guy's going to steal 35 bases. He's got a job. I don't think playing time is going to be a consideration. The batting average could be a concern, but I think he's got a reasonable shot at a 15-35 season, and I like that. And, you know, when I see things like Zimmer going that late, it makes me think that the influence on last year's numbers is carrying a bit too much weight as compared to what a projection should be for this year's numbers.
Yeah, I hear you, Timmy. You know, I've seen Bradley Zimmer play a lot in the minor leagues. He's not that fast. I have him as average, maybe a 55 runner. He can steal bases. He's good at stealing bases. But I do worry that as he gets bigger, puts on weight, that speed might disappear. And what sticks out to me is, I mean, 29.9% strikeout rate in 2017. In 2016, in Triple-A, it was 37.3. In Double-A, it was 28.3. He's a guy who's always struck out a lot. And I think there's always, as you said, always going to be pressure on the batting average. And, you know, if there's ever any kind of – we saw it with Jack Peterson. And Jack Peterson never steals bases, stole 30 bases his Triple-A year. That could happen to Bradley Zimmer. That's my only worry there. Otherwise, Timmy, I agree with you. That's my only worry.
Yeah, and I think that's a fair concern, Rich. It really is. I could argue with that, but I'd lose. And I'm not. I can lose state quarterback. So,
Timmy, let's keep going. We're going to do maybe another 5 minutes, and then we're going to finish up. I don't know. Maybe we'll do a special podcast because the outfield is so deep and we really need to get into some more players. But let's talk about a few more of these guys, and then maybe we'll come back mid. Are you busy midweek, Timmy?
Wednesday's open and free for me, Rich. Tuesday night. I'm good Wednesday, Thursday evening. I'm good to go.
Wednesday evening it is. Timmy, we have a date. So we will come back and finish up outfield, but we're going to we do a few more here. Timmy, let's 41. You got Marwin Gonzalez. He's been on every one of your lists so far. You got him 11 worse than the NFBC. Who knows? Because it depends on where you're taking him. I don't think you're going to pick him up for your outfield, but you'd probably pick him up for second, I would guess, or shortstop or something. Eduardo Nunez, he's a free agent. I don't see that lasting much longer. Gregory Polanco, you have the same place the NFBC has him. Adam Duvall, Adam Jones is next. Michael Conforto, Yasmani Tomas, we're going to get into that one, Timmy. Ronald Acuna. At 48, 49 is Josh Reddick, and number 50 is Dexter Fowler. So let's just talk about Gregory Polanco. To me, it's a guy that we used to talk about all the time. Thought he was going to be a superstar. The only thing that always worried me with him is the hitch in his swing, and unfortunately, that's really exposed him as a guy that you can get out. But you love the power potential there. He does still have a little bit of speed. He was injured a little bit last year. Timmy, did we just overestimate Gregory Polanco?
I don't think so. I think there's a potential to see some growth out of Polanco this year, Rich. Have you seen any pictures of him in his off season workout by any chance?
I have not, but tell me.
When somebody says they're in the best shape of their life, if it happens to be Gregory Polanco, believe him, Rich. He's been working very, very hard this offseason with the ropes. There was a picture.
Fat Bart rope when Bartolo Colon was doing the ropes a few years ago. Was that what he was doing?
No, a little more advanced than that, Rich.
Okay. Well, I was pretty impressed. Bartolo Coloni was doing a rope in each hand and kind of, I'm waving my hands up and forth. You can't see me, Timmy, but that's what he was doing. It was very impressive. I can't do that.
Well, you know, the ropes that Polanco are using would probably tie down the Titanic, should it ever berth in harbor. Okay. I took a look, but I couldn't even lift those puppies. No, he. If you Google chiseled, you're going to see a picture of Gregory Polanco. He has really worked hard this offseason, and I think it's going to make a difference.
I hope so, Timmy. I always liked the kid. I think there's definitely speed power there. I never liked the hitch in a swing, and he's got to fix that. So hopefully the being in shape will help him fix that. Michael Conforto, Timmy, at 46, again, you like him the same place the NFBC has. I was worried that he was even going to play this year, but that seems to be a non-issue. It looks like he's going to come back and play.
Well, yeah, but so far the only thing that we've got as far as a time frame, I believe, is a definite maybe for the end of April, May.
Okay.
So I'm sort of surprised when I look at the NFBC because I thought I had Conforto. That's one that I thought I would be significantly lower in the NFBC, but it looks like I'm not the only one sharing concerns about that shoulder, and it's a problem. It goes back to the Marcus Potter rule, doesn't it?
It sure does, and that is if you're hurt during spring training in April, buyer beware, because it can take all season for these guys to come back, because usually, Timmy, they push themselves and they come back too soon, and they're never really healthy, and that's what Marcus' point always was, and, you know, it's You can miss, you let a guy slip through your hands and he turns out to have the best year of his career. But more times than not, he disappoints. And that's what Marcus was always about. Let's talk about two final guys, Timmy. Yasmani Tomas. You have a 47. The NFBC hates this guy. They have him at 81. I hate Yasmani Tomas. I do have him in a dynasty league, and I should have picked Schwarber when I picked Yasmani Tomas, but I just screwed up and I picked the wrong guy. Even though Schwarber, you can argue Tomas might have a career than Schwarber, but
he might.
Tell me about Tomas. I mean, he didn't play at all last year.
Well, and I think that's why the NFBC has him at 81. I think it's just a case of forgotten identity, Rich. Hey, the guy's got 30 home run potential, 90 RBIs. I just can't see drafting him any lower than that. I, you know, there might be safer picks, but the combination of home runs, RBIs, I think he's going to earn that spot, possibly higher this year. I think you'll be very, very happy that you don't own Kyle Schwarber as compared to Yasmani Tomas.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, it's interesting. I mean, I knew Tomas was injured last year, but boy, it sure didn't seem like it was much. And there's always been that one issue out with him. I mean, does he really want to play? Does he have the fire going? He seems to, kind of not give great effort when he's out in the field, and he looks like he's going in slow motion, and that's bugged me, Timmy. It always reminded me of Irving Santana, like out on the mound. Irving Santana always used to tick me off. He'd give up a home run, and then he'd go, oh, okay, give me the ball. I'll have to throw the next pitch. And he'd give up on a, and it would just like incite me as an owner of his. And the same thing with Tomas. It's that extra thing that really bugs me with him.
Well, yeah, and Marcus Stroman would be jumping up and down, screaming and yelling, right?
Exactly. I mean, and Brett Lurie, you don't want to be Brett Lurie, but it feels like he had a little bit of a fire burning. So the last guy we want to talk about, Timmy, is Ronald Acuña. You have him at 48. The NFBC has him at 33. 33, Timmy. There are people taking Ronald Acuña, who has no job coming into spring training, as their second outfielder. You have him as your kind of a top fourth outfielder. Boy, it just seems high to me. I mean, Timmy, the talent is all there, but when is this guy going to be up? Is he going to be worth like taking him that early?
Well, that's the big question for me. I like the skills, and I think he's going to be a very, very good player. But what happens if the Braves, keep him down on the farm for a month for clock reasons? What happens if he struggles? He went from the ABL to AAA and everything in between in 1 year. That's a lot of baseball, Rich. And as skilled a player as Acuña is, almost every player, elite player, at some point in time has struggled in the early going. And I can't give Acuña a pass from that situation. We all remember what Mike Trout did in his first 100 at-bats, that first fall he came up. Yeah, that was
Bregman as well. Bregman as well.
Yeah, and who's to say that Acuña is just going to fly right into Major League Baseball and hit 25 home runs, steal 25 bases with a .300 batting average, and call it a year? I can't believe that, Rich. So I'm taking a conservative approach when it comes to Mr. Acuña.
Yeah, I mean, the talent's all there. I mean, we both have seen him at the NFBC. I've seen him before that. I mean, this is a guy that's going to be – he's got superstar written all over him. But I'm with you, Timmy. It's like I would take him as my fourth outfielder, but taking him as my second outfielder, really struggle with that, I guess, in a 15-team league, top of your third outfielder. But somebody's going to take him as your second outfielder. It really bugs me.
Well, on top of that, we've already discussed that outfield's a bit of a challenge, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, if you're taking somebody that early, I think you're sort of adding to that challenge this year.
Yeah, I agree. Now, maybe if you told me this, I got Mike Trout and Andrew Benintendi, 1-2, and then I come back, and as my third outfielder, I take Ronald Acuña. Okay. I'm good with that. I mean, that's an aggressive pick. I might buy that. But if I got I got Tommy Pham followed by Domingo Santana, I don't know, Timmy. I mean, all of a sudden I'm looking at a weak outfield, and then I pick a guy that might not be up until June? Ugh.
Yeah, that wouldn't float my boat either, Rich. No, again, it's all about perspective. Like you said, if he's your third outfielder surrounded by two studs, that changes the game a bit. But if you don't have your outfield protected and you're picking him that early, you could end up with an outfield of not much help. How's that?
Yeah, and the game can get away from you in a hurry, Timmy. Ticking. And the trick here is if you're in a 15-team league, 10-team league, the whole thing changes. But a 15-team league, you can easily get discouraged and you can actually dig yourself into a hole. And all of a sudden June comes and Ronald Acuña finally comes up. He might not be able to do enough to bring you back. And that's, that's what you have to kind of weigh out when you're drafting a kid like that that early. Again, you say, oh, I'm going with Rhys Hoskins because he's going to hit 50 home runs. I'm going to get Ronald Acuna in there, and I'm also going to get let's say Tommy Pham. Tommy Pham's going to repeat, and I'm going to get all three of those guys, and they could, like, blow up, and you could win your league going away, or you could in finish 14th. So, I mean, it just depends on, I guess, partly how you want to play.
Well, yeah. Well, let's take a look back to last year, Rich. You know, we were all over Cody Bellinger. Okay, you know, right heading into spring training, and we recommended Cody Bellinger, but most people were getting Bellinger last year, if I'm not mistaken, as a bench or reserve pick. I know that's where I got him in tote. Hey, I'm all over taking a guy like Cody Bellinger as my first pick in a reserve round. That's a sweet deal. But we're not talking with Acuna. We're not talking a reserve pick here. We're talking some pretty serious weight, fifth, sixth, seventh round. If that does not work out, that's going to hurt.
It is, Timmy. I'm trying to bring up his real ADP here. So, I got the draft results as opposed to ADP. Let's see if I'll go draft ADP. All right, bring it up, and then I'll type in Acuna. It's loading, Timmy. Acuna is 129. His ADP is 129.
So that's about what, eighth round.
You don't usually see. Yeah, you don't usually see rookies taken that high.
Brett Laurie.
Yeah, Brett Laurie. Ronald Acuna was taken. The highest he was taken in the NFBC was 84th, and the lowest was 207. So. He's moving up for sure. And again, tons of talent.
Six.
Yep. But boy, it's tough. Timmy, great show. Let's finish up on Wednesday, shall we?
Yeah, that sounds like a plan. And you know what, Rich? There's about six DHs out there that I haven't shipped to you. Maybe if I toss the DHs to you, we can cover those guys too. How does that sound?
That's great. How many DHs?
I think there's about six of them, six or seven.
Oh, great. That's easy, Timmy. I can handle that. So, perfect, guys.
No zero after that, Rich. And I got to thank you for your patience in loading all of this into the system. I cut the outfielders back. There's probably another 30 or 40 that I could have mentioned that will have value in AL or NL-only leagues. But it gets to the point where enough's enough. How's that?
I know. Yeah, I was thinking the same thing after you did an amazing job at all the infield positions. But, I mean, just we got to make life easier for you. And quite frankly, easier for me. It's just too much work. So we're going to cut them back next year to more like 45 in the infield and 150 pitchers just because it's just insane. I mean, it just gets so, so deep that it's tough. But, Tim, you do an amazing job. We will see everybody on Wednesday evening. How's that sound?
That sounds absolutely ducky. I'm looking forward to it. And until then, be well, my friend.
Wait a minute. Question. When is your labor draft?
My labor draft is Tuesday at, I'm just trying to think here, at 8 Eastern, 7 Central. There's going to be, I think Sirius has devoted 4 hours to the show. So I might actually be on doing some gabbing, but, I'm really looking forward to it, Rich, I'll probably do a live thread out there somewhere in cyberspace. It works out very easy for me when you're drafting at the turn. You can you get lots of time in between picks to shoot the breeze. So hopefully, I can share that with a few people. And like I said, I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a fun evening. And thanks again for your assistance.
Oh, sure. No worries, Timmy. So Wednesday, we'll review your labor draft, talk about that a little bit, and then we'll finish up outfield. Sounds like a plan, right?
Hey, done like dinner, Rich. Doesn't get any better.
Talk to you soon, Tim. Be well.
Yes, be well.